مركز صحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Tonight the Q&A with myself Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia and of course my beloved فضيلة الأستاذ حضرت مولانا مفتي عبد القادر حسين حفظه الله. Let's welcome my engineer brother Lokolu and of course in Durban brother Lance and to all the listeners of Sirius FM Haji Faisal Asmal and company and to all the listeners of Radio Al Ansar and of course Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Tonight, the 6th of Dhul Qa'dah 1440, which is also the 9th of July 2019. Our Zakat Nisab is 4,615 Rand. Mehre Fatimi, 11,500 Rand. Minimum Mahar for Hanafis is 230 Rand. For Malikis is 75 Rand. Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no money. Minimum mahar. Our WhatsApp number 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number. You can also send a normal SMS message 0847863132 to the international overseas countries +27847863132. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ameen. Ustaz, let's begin inshallah this beautiful night, this beautiful evening on our Q&A. Somebody is asking here, Ustaz, that in Iddat, can a woman go for shopping, etc. Ustaz, in Iddat.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the husband passes away, then the iddat for the lady is 130 days, 130 days from time of death. Or when the husband has divorced his wife, then the Quran Sharif states, Thalathata Quru, three menses means that it will be, according to Hanafis and Hanbalis, after the talaq has been issued, or three periods of cleanliness, according to the Malikis and the Shafi'is. Nevertheless, if that lady is pregnant, whether it be because of the husband died or after the talaq, then remember, whenever she gives birth, the iddat will expire. وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَن يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. So all this, there's consensus on that issue. Now, what must a lady do during iddat? She cannot wear new clothes, she cannot wear jewelry, she cannot apply henna and mehendi, she has to stay at home, because if the husband passed away, she will inherit, or the family has to then sustain and you know, provide for her. And if it is talaq, then the husband has to, ex-husband has to provide for her. So to say that the wife can go, or ex-wife can go for during the iddat for her shopping and going here and there, visiting all that, absolutely haram that is. It is said but true that many, many women nowadays do not observe the iddat. Or if they observe it, then they bend the rules to suit their own whims and fancies. That is a major, major sin. Remember, iddat is compulsory upon a lady.
Ustaz, somebody is asking that because of the Hajj quota is increased, I can go, but I am doubting. Ustaz.
Yes, remember, we thank Sahuk and all the authorities who are in charge that, alhamdulillah, our quota here in South Africa has reached 5,000 with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah. So first and foremost, we thank Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. Those of us whose names came out now, so because of the increase in the quota, so you get three different categories of people. Some are doubting, must they go or not, because now they feel the time is so limited. limited. They'll only get a 2 week, 3 week, 4 week package and so forth. Then you get others who say they just got the amount of money but no real spending money. Can they take some money from their family or friends? So yes, you can do that as well. And some of them feel that the packages now are too expensive and so forth. Remember, for all of you who have been accredited now, my one advice to all of you, read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128, wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. O Almighty Allah, show us the places of Hajj and Umrah, Makkah, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa, and show us, Ya Allah, forgive us because we are ordinary mortals, we commit sin. So read this verse abundantly, Surah 2, verse 128. Verily Allah is very forgiving, very merciful. And then, should you go or not, all of you should go. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man arad al-hajj falyata'ajjal, whoever made intention for Hajj, then you go. Who got guarantee next year will be alive? Who got guarantee next year it won't be more expensive? You know, money nowadays, it fluctuates and so forth. So don't use that as an excuse. Say this is a gift from Almighty Allah. Allah is inviting me. I'm starting to read my labbaik and learn it properly. And go, O Hujjaj Baitillah, inshaAllah. Remember, this week Friday, I will be in Masjid al-Furqan, inshaAllah, this Friday, the 12th of July, inshaAllah, for the Jummah, and we'll discuss the history of the Haramain Sharifain. And remember, on Saturday, Mona Arafat, myself will be there in Masjid al-Furqan, and this program will be live as well, just like the Friday one. The Saturday one will be live between 2 and 4, and inshallah, my Hajj kitab will also be distributed there to the people going for Hajj, inshallah. And that will be the Saturday in Masjid al-Furqan in Houghton. MashaAllah, Salam Media, Radio Al-Ansar, Sirius FM, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah, all will be taking it live on Saturday afternoon, inshallah. So may Almighty Allah make it a means of hidayat. So all of you can come, inshallah, and then you see that what intention you have made. Ameen. So you should all make the intention, yes, I want to become Duyuful Rahman and Duyuful Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, apna mehman bana de, aur Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mehman bana de. Make us your guest and the guest of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, ameen. Ustad, Eid al-Adha, when will it take place, Ustad?
In South Africa, you can diarize it already, that South Africa, the Eid al-Adha will be on Monday. That will be the 12th of August, inshallah. And remember, we must scan the sky. But when we scan the sky in South Africa, then the new moon and crescent is only 12 and a half hours. So the chances are very, very slim that you will sight the moon. So therefore, the first will be on the Saturday. So when the first is on Saturday, then the following Saturday will be, that is the 3rd of August, and then the following Saturday will be the 8th, and then the 9th will be Sunday, and then 10th will be on that Monday, the 12th of August. So therefore, in South Africa, you can write it down. Other countries and so forth, we'll have to wait for the Mankakers there, the Munsamis, as we call them. So you must remember to see what they got to say. Their eyes are sharper than ours, so mashallah that they might see the moon. Some countries are already announcing that Eid will be Eid al-Adha on the 11th, and that is that Sunday. So Allah wa alam, Allah knows best. So whatever day is announced, obviously we follow that. If we're going for Hajj, Allah ta'ala take us all for Hajj. And remember that in that way we perform the Hajj, and the Hajj is valid. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala accept it.
So let's go to the next listener saying that Qurbani, is it compulsory, Ustad?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala states, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ, that when you have performed your Eid Salat, Eid al-Adha, then go and slaughter. So it shows that is a dalil, the evidence the Hanafi ulama state and say is wajib, compulsory. Unless you're a musafir and so forth, then it's not compulsory for all 3 days, the 10th, 11th, 12th of Zilhijjah. But if you are a person at home, then it will be compulsory if you stay in mature and you have the means. So the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbali say it's sunnah. So if you do it, mashallah, you get great reward. And if you do not perform the Qurbani sacrifice, then there's no sun upon you. That will be the majority scholars' verdict. Similarly, those of you who are going for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala take us all with afiyat, izzat, siha. And remember, you're following the Hanafi school. So your Hajj animal, that will be slaughtered there in Mina, Makkah. And that is called the Hadi, what you call Dhamme Shukr. And your Udhiya, your Eidul Adha, your Bakri Eid Qurbani, that remember you slaughter in any part of the world. So that is still compulsory upon those of us who follow the Hanafi school. So remember that the difference is Hajj animal must be there in Makkah or Mina, and remember the Qurbani animal anywhere in any part of the world.
Somebody is saying here, Mufti Saab, that respected Mufti Saab, which type of Hajj should I perform, Ustad?
My advice to all of you, especially who are going for the first time, that you perform Tamattu Hajj. Tamattu Hajj means the normal South African, they go first from here to Medina Munawwara. They spend 8-9 nights there, or 3-4 nights, whatever it is. And then when you come from Medina to Makkah, you make intention for Umrah only. And remember, it's only Umrah intention. After your Umrah, the man, you shave your hair, the woman, you cut your hair. Now you're out of ihram in your normal clothes, husband, wife, hanky panky business, conjugal rights, everything permissible. Then on the night of the 8th or the morning of the 8th of Zilhijjah, then you go into ihram again. That will be from Makkah or Azizia, wherever you are based, and then you make intention for Hajj. So you'll be fastening ihram twice, the first time for Umrah only and the second time for Hajj only, and to slaughter the Hadi and the Dhamme Shukr, the sacrifice for Hajj, that is compulsory. And Almighty Allah makes ishara that Tamattu is the best. Allah Ta'ala knows the best for all times, all places. فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ بِالْأُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْحَجِّ. Therefore, in this day and this age, we must always encourage people Tamattu. People cannot stay in ihram for long, long periods and so forth. So therefore, the Tamattu Hajj is the best for male and female.
Someone is asking, Mufti Saab, that in Salah, while performing Salah, if one hears, you know, that sound in the stomach, grrr, what's the ruling, Ustad?
So when you make grrr, then you have to run away, brother. Just now you mess your underwear. Just now you make a big noise, explosion in the masjid. It can be highly embarrassing. So when you hear the sounds, run away. You see, the fuqaha, the jurists, who can ever reach their rank nowadays? Nobody, no mufti, no grand mufti. Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, what a genius giant he was. He said, whatever the Quran Sharif is telling us, that is the kalamullah, the direct speech of Almighty Allah. جَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ السُنَّةِ شَرْحٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ. And whatever the sunnah is telling us, that is the elaboration, explanation of the Quran Sharif. وَجَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ الْأَئِمَّةِ شَرْحٌ لِلسُنَّةِ. And whatever the Imam spoke, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, all of them, so they are explaining, elaborating on the sunnah. So the fuqaha, the jurists and scholars of Islam have a term called Dafi'ul Akhbathain. Dafi'ul Akhbathain means now you are in salat, in your namaz, but you got a hard one. Now you are pressing, you know. So your buttocks you're pressing, or front you are now holding, because now you feel maybe some droplets, drops of urine might come out, or you're fearing some wind will come out, or something else might come out. So in all these cases, Dafi, that you are pushing away the two napakis. So remember, it's better for you break your salat and go to the bathroom, toilet and so forth. Go relieve yourself properly, make wudu, and then you come back. Obviously you have to make istinja tahiyyah properly, and then wudu, and thereafter you can perform and repeat your salat. So that will be the best. Do not go and press this and press that and all that. So because now your mind is no more in salat, your mind is gone to the bathroom now. So before we read salat, and people who have this problem constantly, so read Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal walahan. The shaitan who troubles us regarding our wudu, his name is Walahan, W-A-L-A-H-A-N. The hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, inna lil wudu'i shaitanan yuqalu lahul walahan. And there's another shaitan who troubles us in salat, in nawaz, he is called Khinzab, K-H-I-N-Z-A-B. He confuses us and blows our fuses. We don't know which rakat we are in, we don't know which surah we read. So ask Almighty Allah for protection from all the shayateen, Walahan and Khinzab.
Ustaz, back to school tomorrow, inshallah, back to madrasa. So the listener wants to know, few words from your side, Ustaz, advice to all the students who are getting ready to go back to school tomorrow.
MashaAllah, tomorrow you're going back to madrasa, back to school and so forth. So whatever we do in life, ask ourselves, what is our intention? Innamal a'malu bin niyat. Remember that the intention should be pure for the love and pleasure of Allah. There will be challenges, but say, Ya Allah, I'm studying this, I'm studying that. I want to use it to uplift the deen. I want to use this so that I can bring about the true information to people. You know, information brings about transformation. Third one, that I want to teach the people the correct beliefs according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So once we do that, inshallah, you will see Almighty Allah will accept us for His deen. Imam Sufyan Thawri, rahimahullah, a giant in fiqh, in hadith, he says that talabna al-ilma lighayrillah fa aba ay yakuna illa lillah. Initially, when we started studying, our intention and niyat was all tainted and polluted. But the noor and effulgence and radiance of this knowledge was such, our intentions were rectified, and it became solely, exclusively for the love of Allah. So that is my one advice, that study not just to make money, study so that we become an asset to humanity.
Subhanallah. Somebody is saying, dear Honorable Mufti Saab, I'm a 60-year-old divorced Hanafi Muslim who remarried a similar aged widow some years ago, Ustad. I had already completed my Hajj, so did my late parents. I would like to perform my wife's late husband's compulsory Hajj with her. Please advise regarding this, Ustad.
Very good. You go for Hajj, take your wife with you, or if you want to perform Hajj on behalf of your wife who passed away, you performed your Hajj, so you can do all that, is fine. So read Surah 2, verse 128, وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. And now you know this 500 edition, so I don't know if your name came out or not. If your name came out, then speak to the agents, mashallah. Speak to Sahuk, many times they have last minute cancellation also, and maybe your name is on the list somewhere. So you find sometime people, you know, they waited, and then this cancellation, and then your name just comes, and mashallah. So cry to Allah. You are 60, 65 years old now, mashallah. We don't know how long we're going to live. So you perform Hajj with your wife, and you can make intention for your deceased wife also. So all that would be fine and acceptable, no problem.
Mufti Saab, if a widow is having an affair, does her marhum husband get to know, and what is the punishment, Ustad?
Remember that whether it's a male or female, and remember that whether the husband is alive or the husband passed away, the wife is alive or the wife passed away, and that person is still committed Islamically as adultery. So adultery in Islam, there's ijma and consensus according to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah that capital punishment, death penalty comes about. Islam promotes a pure and chaste society. There's no place for zina fornication, adultery, homosexuality in Islam. So that is, does the dead person, the husband, come to know? No, he don't come to know. So unless sometimes Allah Ta'ala lets him come to know, but generally they don't come to know this type of things. So, but that does not mean now you continue with all these vices. So remember that you are a widow, and now you are a lady who is 40, 50, 60. So rather get remarried than leading this haram life and so forth. So remember, today these vices are increasing in our society. Only Almighty Allah protect us. Read, Allahumma hassin farji. Allahumma, O beloved Allah, hassin ha swad noon. O Allah, fortify, protect my private part. Ameen. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will let us lead a pure and a chaste life.
Ustad, are you aware of the concert to be held in Jeddah 2 days before the start of Hajj, Ustad? Any advice from your side, Ustad?
Remember that yesterday also that question came. I gave you the answer yesterday. Every Muslim knows that this is haram, and everywhere in the world, musical concerts and so, there's no place in Islam. So we must make dua for the Haramain Sharifain. So ask Almighty Allah Jalla Wala to protect the Haramain Sharifain and Majlul Aqsa. That is the greatest concern of the Muslim.
Yeah, 084-786-3132. Ustad, this question was posed last week, but I see the question coming in right now. They didn't listen to the answer. Nikah was done, and now my daughter refuses to go to PE to her husband. She says that it is too far. We live in Durban. She wants a divorce. I, as a father, requested for a divorce. They were married for only 3 weeks. Please help desperate father on the verges of losing his mind. Please, I ask, I beg you, Mufti Saab.
Obviously, this is now a petty reason, and I'm amazed that you, as the father, are giving in to your daughter. She's married now for 3 weeks, and now she, whether she went to PE or not, Allah alone knows. So whether she went or didn't go, but now the stigma of divorce will remain with her for the remainder of her life, and she got no valid grounds, and now she says, no, she's in Durban, she can't go to PE. So what you had to say yes for what you had to go through the nikah and all these type of things? You'll make Islam and nikah a mockery. So remember, you, the father, you're giving your daughter totally wrong. Wrong mashura. You, the one, you should tell your daughter, you pack up and go to PE, otherwise I won't speak to you. That is what you should be doing. Not just though, the problem is you spoil your daughters too much. Instead of them listening to you, you start listening to them. And talid al amatu rabbataha. That is the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. A time will come when the daughters, the sons will become the masters and the parents will become the slaves. So you can see it now. So remember, if you've got some common sense, then you will send your daughter back to PE and not break the marriage.
Ustad, we go to Gaborone. Mufti Saab, hope you well. I want to know that I am insurance broker. Is my income halal, Ustad?
Absolutely haram it is. Remember that insurance is haram, and the broker's income is also haram. The commission is also haram. Quran Kareem states, Surah 5, verse 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْأُدْوَانِ. That, remember that cooperation in vices and sin is haram. Why is insurance haram? Because of gambling, because of interest, and so many other factors. So therefore, it is not permissible at all.
29 minutes to 9. You are tuning and listening to the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and my beloved Fadilatul Ustad. We go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we come back, inshallah, yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Sirius FM, Radio Al Ansar, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
25 minutes to 9. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Monday night, 084-786-3132. That is our WhatsApp number to the international overseas countries. +2 784-786-3132. Let's welcome all the listeners of Radio Al Ansar and all the listeners of Sirius FM, and of course, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ustaz, somebody is asking here from Umslanga. Mufti Saab, give me examples of good amal, Ustad.
Good amal is we must read salat, we must be fasting, we go for hajj, we do good charity, we are good to parents, good to our neighbors, and whether they're Muslim, non-Muslim. So all good things, mashallah, Islam encourages. To do good is easy. To abstain from haram, that is difficult. So to do good, I gave you. Now stay away from TV, stay away from backbiting, stay away from sleeping, salat time. That is the real criteria. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that is in Tirmidhi Sharif, ittaqil maharim, stay away from haram speech, haram actions, haram places, takun a'badan nas, you will be the greatest worshipper of Allah. So to do actions, very easy. To abstain and refrain, that is difficult, and that is where we are failing nowadays.
Ustad, someone is asking you, Ustad, it says here that Salam's Mufti Sahab, my sister came in the deen few years ago. Alhamdulillah, it says, she got one son with two girls. Last week her husband passed away and left her a young widow. So she's in a position to sell his car and to move in a cheaper home to pay children's college and school fees. But also the little bit of money she's got left, must she give his father a portion or rather keep for the family expenses like the rent and traveling? Ustad.
Remember, in a case like that, first you have burial, funeral expenses. Second, you have, you must remember, the debts of the deceased. Third one will be wasiyah for non-heirs, and that will be maximum one third. And fourth will be the shares of the heirs. So you as the wife, you will inherit 12.5%. His parents, they must inherit. Remember, it's compulsory. Collectively, one third. Individually, 1/6, 1/6. And then the remainder is two sons and one daughter. So that remainder, you make five shares, two shares for the son and one share for the daughter. So one more time, 12.5% for the wife, one third collectively for the parents, 1/6, 1/6 each, and the remainder residue, five shares, two for the two sons and one for the daughter.
Ustad, what clothing must woman wear at the time when her husband dies? Is it necessary to wear white on the mayor day? Can she wear black, Ustad?
There's no such thing she must wear white or she must wear black. Any clothing she can wear, provided that it's old clothing and not new. And it must not be transparent and see-through and so forth. So it can be black, it can be white, it can be navy, it can be brown. So all this is permissible. Similarly, you ladies who are going for Hajj and Umrah, remember there's no such thing that you must wear white clothes. You can wear white, you can wear black, you can wear grey, you can wear navy, all permissible. Make sure it's not see-through and transparent. The floodlights there are very powerful in Makkah Mukarrama.
Somebody says, Ustad, please advise when a person is going for Hajj, should he ask for maaf from his family that he or she would have hurt, Ustad?
Yes, 100%, especially with those people whom you have severed ties. No salam, no kalam. So you should take the initiative and go and ask them for forgiveness. Even if they tell you a lot of nonsense, so at least you have done your duty. And then you go with a pure and clean, the cleaner heart, and then you go to Makkah, Medina, inshallah. So at least you have fulfilled your responsibility.
Somebody is saying, Mufti Sahab, Ustad, I sometimes forget things. Sometimes I feel like I am breaking down. Please tell me what to read. I am scared I might forget forever. Ustad.
Read La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. And inshallah, all this anxiety, worry, all will disappear. Secondly, stay away from vices and sin. The more we commit sin, the weaker our memory becomes. Third one, read Ya Qawiyu abundantly, and Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with a powerful retentive memory, inshallah.
Somebody is asking you, Ustad, from Germiston, Mufti Sahab, can men wear titanium rings, Ustad?
For men, only silver rings are permissible, especially according to the Hanafi school. And remember, it should not exceed that 4.85 grams of silver. So always silver rings and should not exceed 4.85 grams. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, اتخذه من ورقين ولا تتم مثقال, meaning that what I just told you now. And remember, that is the Hanafis. Shafis and them, there's more flexibility, but the titanium, all that would be permissible for Shafi'is. But gold is totally haram for men. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Huma haramun ala dhukuri ummati. Genuine gold and genuine silk for men is totally haram. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustafa Ahmed.
Was that in ruku, if you read Subhana Rabbiyal A'la instead of Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, do you have to make a sajda sahwa, Ustad?
No, no sajda is so. Remember to read Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, to read Subbuhun, Quddusun, Rabbuna, wa Rabbul Malaikat wa Ruh. That is Sunnah. But if you read by mistake Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, still there will not be any sajda so, and your salat is valid.
What is the significance of reading 41 Yasin in a khatam, Ustad?
Remember to read Surah Yasin is excellent. There are so many ahadith related to Surah Yasin. I'll mention three. Number one, the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَلْب. Everything has a heart. وَقَلْبُ الْقُرْآنِ Surah Yasin. And the heart of the noble Quran is Surah Yasin. You read Surah Yasin once, you receive the reward of reciting the Quran Sharif 10 times. The hadith in Tirmidhi. Second one, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iqra Yasin ala mautakum." Read Surah Yasin for your deceased, our father, mother, grandparents passed away. Read the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. Third one, Musnad Bazzar's hadith, "Lawadittu annaha fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati." It is my heart's desire. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Every male, female, adult, and child should by heart and memorize Surah Yasin." So it shows that we should all try and do so. So mashallah, if you read Surah Yasin and all that is very good, but 41 times, that got no basis. That is man-made thing. So there's no such thing as 41. Any amount you read is fine.
Ustad, we go to overseas. This is from Mauritius. I'm just reading the question, Ustad. It says, I was wondering if there are any history books, Ustad, the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the biographies of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to them all, and also if there are any books on the history of Islam after the reign of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ustad.
Yes, there are great, great books you must remember written nowadays in Arabic, Urdu, English. I'll mention some of them. Number one is, if you know Arabic, then remember that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you get Tariqul Khulafa, the history of the Khulafa. So by Allama Suyuti rahimahullah is translated in English also. And then remember you get books written by Allama Shallah Salabi, and he has written books on the Umayyad dynasty from Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And then the Umayyad dynasty, when they finished, they ruled the Ummah for 80 years. So thereafter 82 years. Anyway, thereafter more than 500 years, the Abbasid dynasty. So he's written books on that. All this you will find in English as well. And very, very well written it is as well. I have all the Arabic copies. And then the third one, if you want Seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great, great ulama have written. So you have so many books you can read. Ar-Rahikul Makhtum, the Seal Nectar, Muhammadur Rasulullah by Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimahullah. So like that, there are many, many books written. So if you are going to read serious reading, there are too many books to read.
Ustad, the listener is saying, if so, Ustad, where can such publications, books, be purchased in the United States, Ustad?
They in United States, just go to Darussalam Publications and you will find all of it online. So remember Darussalam Publications and you will find it online, New York, Washington, everywhere you will find it.
Somebody is saying, Ustad, is it permissible to read Surah Fatiha and Surah audibly for Dhuhr and Asr Salah if one is reading alone at home, Ustad?
Regarding the previous question, if you are in America, there in Washington, if you go to the one place there, they have excellent books there. So mashallah, Dr. Tutunji and them were there. I met him there as well. So if you can go there, mashallah, I know I picked up about 20, 30 books from them there when I went in 2000 to America. So if you are near Washington and you can make contact with Dr. Tutunji and all that group of them, so mashallah, some books, they have not all, but some of them are very, very good and they are in the English language there. Okay, yeah, the masla regarding salat if you're reading alone. So if you are reading, for example, Fajr Salat, Maghrib Salat, Isha Salat at home, and you are a male, so you must remember you have option, you can read it loudly or you read it softly, both is fine. And the first salat we're speaking about. Women, you just read softly. And if you are the imam, you are reading 2, 3, 4 people and one person is the imam, then remember that according to Hanafis, it's compulsory that you read it loudly. If you read it softly, the qiraat for 3 verses or more, then sajda so becomes compulsory. If it's a soft salat and you read loudly for 3 or more verses, then sajda so will become compulsory. That's according to the Hanafi school. Shafi's and them, sajda so is not compulsory.
So let us go to Lusaka, Zambia. Please ask Honorable Mufti AK Sahib, I wanted to know the dua that is recited whilst looking at the sky and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles back at you. Ustad Anonymous.
You must remember that when people look at the sky and so forth, so Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the wudu then read Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin, and some ahadith tell us that the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the sky at that time. And then you find ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qalbi ala dinik. You don't keep on looking, you just take a quick glance and come down. Ya Allah, you are the one who turns the hearts, so keep my heart steadfast on your deen. So on that occasion, just for a split second you look up and then you look down, so remember that is fine. When we are making dua, we are not supposed to look and stare towards the sky. We must show our humility. Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufiya. So we hum to su'ali hai, hum to bikari hai, we are beggars by Almighty Allah Jalla wala. So we keep our hands outstretched and ask Allah like a beggar. Antumul wallahu al-ghani wa antumul fuqara. Almighty Allah is totally independent and you are always the beggars, me and you. So Allah se mangna hai aur Allah se lena hai. So beg Almighty Allah and take from the unlimited treasures of Almighty Allah.
Ustaz, let us go to White River, Dr. Sahib, mashallah. He says, Mufti Sahib, I just want to know, are the halal meals served by SAA and other airlines, Ustaz, in a plane halal, Ustaz?
Personally, remember, we don't have confidence in these organizations. So my advice to you will be, when we fly and all these type of things, so either you just order a fruit platter, if it's a short flight here to Durban or Cape Town or whatever. If it is international flights and so forth, just order vegetarian or order semi food or something like that. Remember, rather we stay away from anything in which we have doubt. And that is the teaching of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. There's authentic hadith. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed his beloved Nawasa grandson, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu an, leave that in which there is no doubt, leave that in which there is doubt, leave that in which there is doubt, and opt for that in which there is no doubt at all. So that is what Islam teaches us, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi.
Ustaz, somebody is asking here, this is anonymous, it says here, Mufti Sahib, I am a student in varsity and I am in love with the lecturer. I am 27 years old and she is 40. Please, Mufti Sahib, I want to do it the proper way. Please advise me. My parents are against it. Ustad.
So proper way is you stop your studies and then you go work there somewhere else. So your parents are against it. I'm against it. What you doing there? You studying your kitab or you studying the lecturer? So you must remember you're looking at her body and you're looking at this and then you dream about her and all these type of things. Therefore, we told you all the environment in a university is very, very poisonous and dangerous. 90% they will lose their virginity or they will lose their iman or definitely they will lose their haya, shame and modesty. So you're fooling yourself by thinking you'll do it properly. Daily you have lectures by her and now your parents are telling you no and you say no, that I want to still marry her. So where are you going to get barakat and blessing and all that? So rather leave that university and study via correspondence and go and work. So that is my advice to you.
Ustaz, in ayat number 80 of Surah Yasin, do we start the ayat with or without the noon letter? What are the rules with the small letters below or top? at the beginning or end of an ayah to start.
Remember that, that when you are speaking about, if it is that noon between letters and so forth, then remember we call it noon a kutuni. That is like the cotton. So cotton is there to join the fabric. So yeah, it is to join the two words. So that is what is normally in the Quran. But when we open Surah Yasin and we find, remember, that is your this thing, Surah Yasin, and verse number 80 you mentioned, mashallah. So we see in Surah Yasin has got 83 verses, and there is got there Alimunilladhi. So you stop there, Alim, and you start the next verse, Alladhi ja'ala lakum min ash-shajaril akhdari. And if you are carrying on, wa huwa bi kulli khalqin alimin, Alimunilladhi, Alimunilladhi. So you're joining the word Alim and Ladhi. So then you read Alimunilladhi Nune Kutni. It is the cotton joining. The letter is the joining factor between the two words.
Ustaz, what must we read on the day of Hajj? We are not in Arafat, we are at home. Must we read Surah Hajj and Surah Tawbah on that day, Ustaz?
Remember, when you are at home, then Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith is mentioned in Mustafa Ahmad. When the month of Zilhijjah starts, then you should be reading Akthiru Fihinna. Read abundantly Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. The hadith is in Tirmidhi Sharif. Remember the first 10 nights, the first 9 nights, the first 10 nights, all that are big days, big night, significant. So Almighty Allah tells us in Surah Al-Fajri, Walayalin Ashr. So the first 10 nights of Zilhijjah are second after Ramadan, the last 10 nights, then the second most important nights are these nights here. And that is the first 10 nights of Zilhijjah, as mentioned by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anuma. So imagine how great these nights are. And the days, how important they are. The hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, if you fast the first 9 days, kasiyam isanatin, you get the reward of fasting for one whole year. And if you make ibadat during those 10 nights of Zilhijjah, kaqiyam ilaylatil qadri, is like making ibadat on the night of majesty, the night of destiny. And if you fast only for non-hajis, non-pilgrims, you fast on the day of Arafat, only Arafat, Mohana Arafat, so only the fast on Arafat, 9th of Zilhijjah, ahtasibu ala Allah, ayyukaffira sanata allati qablaha walati ba'da. 2 years sins are forgiven, the previous year and the following year. So open Bulughul Maram, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. So remember big days there.
Ustaz, somebody is saying here that I need your advice urgent on a certain issue, and I will pay you for your services via EFT or cash. Cash if you are in Durban, or by EFT if not in Durban. Anonymous, Ustaz.
So remember, we don't charge for advice. That the lawyers do. We don't do, Alhamdulillah. We give thousands of people advice, so we don't charge, brother. So you must remember, you go by the lawyer, they pick to put their TikTok. They charge you per minute. We don't charge, Alhamdulillah. Just make dua. Just send WhatsApp, and then we don't want long stories. So remember this. If it's husband-wife problem, contact your local ulama, the jamiats, and whoever. They will sort it out. Today, also one person phoned, gave me a long story. I told him, bye. See, I'll just make GG and waste your time and waste my time, because I can see you lying already. You understood? So then he kept quiet. So you know, people, they want to win our sympathy, and then they just speak lies, you know. So the way he made the story, I asked him 2 questions, I caught him is lying. So I told him, see, no sense we continue this discussion, that in a case like that, that you must go with your wife, go to your jamiats, go to your local ulama, and then both sides of the story will come. And then also they lie. Therefore, I say, it's not 2 sides to the story, it's 3 sides to the story. The husband's story, the wife's story, and the true story. So when you listen, you have to sift out the true story, because they lie like no man's business.
Somebody saying, Mufti Sahab, that is para and surah is the same, Ustad?
No, para, there are 30 supara, 30 juz in a noble Quran. Surah is chapter, there are 114 chapters in a noble Quran.
0847863132. This one says, Mufti Saab, it's my first time ever going for Hajj. I have a lot of debts and I am accredited for Hajj. Mufti Saab, your advice, please.
Yes, speak to all your creditors. You are accredited. Now you speak to your creditors and tell them that, see, I'm going for Hajj, but all my debts, I'm not going to default on it. I am going to pay you and so forth. So you keep on paying them and you go for your Hajj also, alhamdulillah.
Mufti, when reading Isha Salah alone, 17 rakats, what surah to start from?
Any surah you can read. Remember, there's no such thing you must start from Wad Duha or you must start from Alam Tara. Any surah you can read. The Quran Sharif teaches us, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Whatever is easy for you, you read it. For example, in Isha Far Salat, you read إِذَا جَاءَ and تَبَّتْ يَدَى. Now after that, you got 2 rakat sunnat muakkada. So again you read إِذَا جَاءَ تَبَّتْ يَدَى. Totally permissible, no problem.
Usa, to all my daughter-in-laws, it says, Assalamu alaikum, all my daughter-in-law, gave birth to a boy, and soon as baby was born, my son gave azan and named the baby Muhammad. Now I would like to know, is it necessary to remove the hair after 3 days or 7 days? And when removing hair, can we use Zafran water on head? Ustad, anonymous from Durban.
Yes, mashallah, there's an addition in the family, so that is very, very good. And today, let's say Monday now, the baby was born. Islamically, we know tonight is Tuesday. So let's just say the baby was born. So adhan in the right ear, iqama in the left ear, and tahniq. Take the dates, chew it, and thereafter insert it in the baby's mouth. These three actions are sunnah. Then if the baby was born on Monday, then Sunday is the seventh day. So that day you will make to say aqiqah, slaughter 2 goats or 2 sheep. You name the baby, but you'll give the name already, that's fine. And then you shave the hair, it's sunnah. And shave all the hair, and thereafter you apply the za'afran, mix it with water and apply it on the head of the baby, that's sunnah. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Give out some charity as well, and mashallah in that way. And read the following dua. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu read for Hassan Basri, Allahumma faqihhu fid deen wa habibhu ilan nas. Ya Allah, give him the deep, profound understanding of Deenul Islam and make him beloved to the people. So like that you make du'as, mashallah, and blow on your flower. His name is Muhammad, mashallah.
Ustad, brother Abdullah from Soweto, he says, Mufti Saab, how are you? I hope you are fine. Mufti Saab, I want to know, is it permissible to write on bones? Brother Abdullah from Soweto.
My brother Abdullah, so many months have passed, we didn't hear from you. We also hope you are well. We're making dua for you, Ameen, and the ummah. So no, you mustn't write on bones and all these type of things. Remember that the bones is zadu ikhwanikum min al jinn. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the food and the sustenance for that creation we call jinn. So you must write on paper, write on the board, write on something like that. Don't start writing on that food. Food of the jinn and so forth. Just now the jinnat will come by you, and then Abdullah will be out of action for a long time.
1129 o'clock. My name is Adil, Mufti Saab, and my mother's name is Salma. I want to change my name from Adil to Abdul Rashid. Please do istikhara and tell me, that is the name Adil good for me or Abdul Rashid good for me, Ustad?
Adil is good for you. You don't have to change nothing. Adil means just. So there's nothing wrong with your name. So you must change everything. Change your style. Change your attitude. Change everything. Don't think just by playing with names you will change. No. So Adil is very good. And your mother's name Salma, very good. You don't have to change anything. You change your own actions from the vices to the virtue.
One more question, Ustad, before we go, inshallah, for our Isha Azan here in Johannesburg. And this is also from overseas. This is from Swaziland, anonymous sister. Mufti Saab, is it advisable to invest in gold bullion, Ustad?
Remember that if a person has got cash and you want to invest in gold and so forth, that's very good. So remember that gold normally appreciates, but remember zakat will be compulsory on the current market value at 2.5%. Very good to invest in gold.
9 o'clock, spot on, inshallah, we go for our Isha Azania in Johannesburg. Of course, in Durban will be the 9 o'clock news. When we get back, inshallah, after that, we'll be continuing with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.